It's called protein degradation. And if you're a bad protein in a cancer cell, you'd better get your affairs in order. Because now, thanks to Dana-Farber's foundational work, protein degradation can target cancer-causing proteins and destroy them, right inside the cell. This take-no-prisoners approach is making a difference in multiple myeloma and other blood cancers, and is how Dana-Farber is working to treat previously untreatable cancers. Learn more at danafarber.org/everywhere.
Rupert Murdoch faces an angry staff.
Let Marketplace be your guide to the modern world. Subscribe to the Marketplace Tech Report podcast. Find it on iTunes or at marketplace.org/podcasts.
From APM, American Public Media in New York, good morning. I'm Jeremy Hobson. Rupert Murdoch is expected in London today, where he'll face some angry employees. 9 journalists from his UK tabloid The Sun have been arrested in the last few weeks after Murdoch's own company, News Corporation, turned them in for alleged corruption. This is, of course, related to the allegations of phone hacking by reporters at News Corp. Roy Greenslade is the former editor of the British tabloid The Mirror and now professor of journalism at City University in London. He joins us now. Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, so it sounds like this scandal involving Rupert Murdoch's publications is very different today than it was just a few months ago.
Yes, it's expanded out from his Sunday newspaper, which he had to close. And now the heat has turned on his daily newspaper, the hugely successful high-selling Sun, where there are allegations now that journalists have been for many years bribing public officials to obtain information. This has led to the arrest of 9 Sun journalists, high ranking, way up to the deputy editor level. And now Murdoch finds himself in a strange situation where one half of his company is helping the police and the other half, the Sun journalists, are extremely upset that their colleagues are being arrested on this information.
Rupert Murdoch obviously is a very powerful man all around the world. Is this scandal at this point threatening his power and his entire empire?
Well, it's quite clear that he's in a strange situation where he appears to have lost control of his own newspaper empire. His own Sun newspaper ran an article on Monday by an associate editor in which he referred to a little local difficulty, a code for saying that they were in fact under siege from their own side. So this civil war in his own company is something he needs to deal with, and it's going to be a tough ask.
Roy Greenslade is former editor of The Mirror, the British tabloid. He's also a professor of journalism. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
General Motors reports quarterly earnings today, and one of the things that analysts will be looking at is how many cars are being sold to rental car companies. American automakers have traditionally dominated the rental car market here in the U.S., but now those rental car fleets are getting a foreign invasion, as Marketplace's Jennifer Collins reports.
In the past, only about 7% of Toyotas became rental cars. Last month, that jumped to almost 20%. Toyota's trying to overcome years of problems that kept people out of its cars. First, there was this.
The car maker is voluntarily recalling more than 2 million vehicles because the accelerator can get stuck.
Then there were supply shortages after the Japanese tsunami. John Healy of North Coast Research says the company is trying to get people back into its cars.
And I think a good way to illustrate that your cars are safe, reliable, and meet the needs of Americans today is to get your cars into a rental fleet.
There are drawbacks. Former auto industry exec Peter DiLorenzo says deals with rental companies are less profitable than traditional sales.
And you run the risk of having people equate your brand with, quote unquote, just a rental car. Something that they would rent, but they would never buy.
He expects Toyota to downshift on the rentals when the sales kick into gear. I'm Jennifer Collins for Marketplace.
And let's do the numbers. Stocks are down around the world this morning. Hong Kong off 0.4%. We are down more than 1% in Frankfurt and about 0.5% in Paris. On Wall Street yesterday, the Dow lost 97 points to close at 12,780.
Do you enjoy the music we play between stories? Visit the Marketplace Music section to browse playlists for all of our programs and to buy those songs on Amazon. A percentage of each purchase goes towards supporting our programs. Find more online at marketplace.org/music.
If you walk past the building that used to be a Borders bookstore in downtown Chicago, today you will find an art exhibit in the windows. That's one way of filling the space that was emptied after Borders closed all of its 399 locations last year. The question of what would become of those huge big box stores puzzled commercial real estate experts. And now, as David Weinberg reports, they're getting some answers.
Nearly 5 years before Borders announced it was closing, Rodney Spriggs already had his eye on several Borders locations.
We are very interested in the space as if something would ever happen on Borders.
Spriggs is CEO of the retail chain VStock, which sells new and used books, video games, and DVDs. This fall, when Borders went under, VStock snapped up three of its former locations in St. Louis.
We actually had the deals done before Borders had even ceased operations.
It was a very fast turnaround.
That swift action was perfect for Kenya Barber. She was a manager at Borders for 13 years.
It was actually pretty wonderful. They kind of rode in like shining knights.
VStock offered her a job at the new store, and Barber is now a manager there. She says this economy is perfect for customers looking to buy used. And for people who need a little extra cash, they can sell their old movies and video games for cash. Barber says the most popular items people bring in are books.
We had, I believe, over 500 by noon.
Today,
you know,
it'll be 500.
Today.
VStock isn't the only company moving into former Borders locations. National chains like REI, Forever 21, and the arts and crafts store Michaels are all making plans to lease former Borders properties.
The overall recovery in retail sales over the past 18 months has been strong enough to cause a resurgence in demand for brick and mortar retail space.
Hessam Naji is the managing director at Marcus & Millichap, the nation's largest investment brokerage. He says the retail market is rebounding surprisingly fast.
Net demand for retail space across the U.S. has been positive for the past seven consecutive quarters.
But Naji says many of the Borders properties located in the outer suburbs may have permanently lost their value and could remain empty for the foreseeable future. In St. Louis, I'm David Weinberg for Marketplace.
And finally, if you're a fan of Snickers or Twix and you like to get the big king-size candy bars, you better stock up now. By the end of next year, the Mars company that makes them will stop selling all of its chocolate products with more than 250 calories. The king size is 540. It's part of a push for, quote, responsible snacking, though I guess if you want to be irresponsible, you could always just get two Snickers bars. In New York, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. This is APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.